You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
You know, there's a lot of things going on around us right now. I don't always know the exact words to say in situations like this, but I do know a couple of appropriate responses. They're always the right response. And that is to love and to pray. And I think as a church, that's what we need to constantly do, is to love people around us, and we need to pray. When we don't have the words to pray, the Holy Spirit will go to the Father for us, and He will pray for us. And so love and prayer are always the right responses. I wanted today to talk about generosity. It's part four of a four-part series, or actually, I could add a couple, but I'll stop at four. And today, I feel like is definitely one that can stand on its own. It's a passage of scripture that in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul really focuses in on this topic of generosity. And I think in both of those chapters, the real kernel of the chapter, or the part of it that's easiest to memorize, easiest to get your head around, is this passage that we're going to be talking about now, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. So I want to just read this, and then I'll talk about a few points. And I had a great PowerPoint presentation, but my computer has frozen once again. And so, I know. So what I'm going to do is just cut it off, because I'm watching that circle keep going around and around and around, and it's a big distraction. So you guys with me? Here we go, old school, nothing back there, just the scriptures in front of us, and I think we'll have some good things to think about here. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9, these are the words of Paul. Remember this. Now, when you see something like that, it's saying, hey, pay attention, even saying, memorize this. I don't want you to forget this. So when you look at these two chapters and you see a phrase like that, then you have to really pay attention. Oh, he's coming to a really crucial point here. And I think of all of these two chapters, the part that could be memorized the easiest, that really sticks with us the most, are these next few verses. And so I encourage you to remember it. I encourage you to memorize it. I encourage you to think about it, because these are really great scriptures, these next few verses right here. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, and he quotes from Psalm 112 here, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. And it's a great psalm. I encourage you to go back and take some time this week to read Psalm 112. But what can we learn from this passage of scripture right here? There are many, many great ideas that Paul presents to us here about being generous people, and about being a generous community, and about being a generous church. And so let me just list a few of them, and we'll go through these. Number one, sow generously, reap generously. I mean, that's a main thought that he starts out here. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, this is a great proverbial saying right here. This is the kind of thing that's easy to get your head around, easy to memorize. You sow sparingly, you're not going to harvest very much. You sow generously, you're going to harvest a lot. Because when you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. So don't be stingy in what you sow. He's saying here, be generous. Don't be stingy. Be generous. And he's calling individuals in the church to have that heart and be that way. But he's also calling the whole church, the church in Corinth. This is how you ought to be. Especially when thinking about the poor, and thinking about the poor disciples that are in Jerusalem that are suffering famine. Be generous with them. Don't be stingy. Don't sow sparingly. The word here for generous is the word eulogios. Eulogios, you might hear the word eulogy there. And a eulogy, you know, he said it, those are the words at a funeral. A eulogy basically just means good words, good words. And what he's saying here is that the generous, when you're generous, you have some good things to say. You have some blessings to give out. And so he's saying, and he uses this in both places, he's saying, sow with blessing and you will reap with blessing. And the great thing here is you think, okay, so generously, well, what am I supposed to sow with? God gives us the seed. God blesses us first. And so with the blessings that we're given, we go out and now we become a blessing to other people. And that's what Paul is asking us to do, to be a blessing for other people around us. So sow with blessing and reap with blessing. When I was a kid, early on, actually, when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, I planted a garden in my backyard. It's just something I wanted to do on my own. I asked my mom to get me some seed, to get me some tomato plants, and I started being a gardener, mainly because I loved vegetables, and especially because I loved fresh tomatoes off the vine. Okay, if you haven't had a fresh tomato right off the vine, you've never really had a tomato. You got to find one because it's just it's in a different category of its own. And I would you know, raise these tomato plants, and I would go out and I would just eat them like apples. Pick them off the vine, put a little salt on them, and eat them like apples. Yeah, you can picture me in my bare feet in the heat of the summer, just a kid doing that with a big old smile on my face. And then I ventured out. I started planting cantaloupe. I started planting watermelon. I tried corn. You know, it grew really big and tall. Didn't produce much, but it grew big and tall. I tried lettuce. I tried cabbage. I tried all these different things. And over the years, you know, when I first started, it was really a big mess. But I got better over the years. In fact, my neighbor, Jerry Duncan, and we were really close to them, my backdoor neighbor, he would have a big garden every year with a fence around it and everything. And at first, he saw me in my backyard with just basically a shovel in my hand trying to break the ground in the heat of the beginning of the summer, just trying to break the ground. And so he came down with his tiller, and he said, I'll till it up for you, okay? That's all I'm going to do, but I will do that for you. And he did. So he broke the ground for me. And then after that, my mom would provide me with some seed, and she'd provide me with a few tomato plants. And I would read the instructions on the packet, and it would say, like, you know, put one seed 6 inches apart, that kind of thing. And I would be meticulous because I had one packet of seed. And so I would put it there, be really meticulous about it. And then later on I learned that packet acts like every seed is going to germinate, like every seed is going to grow, and that just does not happen. You got the sun scorching down. Sometimes you have rain that drowns them. Sometimes, like, we had a dog named Tramp that would come in with its big paws and just crush them. And so not every seed germinates. And so I learned later on, I've got to sow more generously. I got to put more seed down. There were big old holes in the middle of this beautiful tilled backyard because I didn't put enough seed in the ground. And I also realized that, you know what? I'm not paying for the seed. My mom's paying for the seed. So let me just really throw it out here because she's paying for it anyway. And so, you know, that one every 6 inch became one every inch. You know, I would just plopping them down. Because if I ran out, I'd say, Mom, I need some more seed. And she'd go and she'd get me more seed. And I think that's the mentality that God wants us to have. He doesn't want us to sow sparingly. Okay, I'm just going to put this here, and I'll think about it a while, and maybe I'll hold on to this seed a bit, and then I'll put this seed down, see what happens with that seed. Before I give any more, let me see what happens with that seed. That's stingy. That's not generous. God wants us to be generous, understanding that even sometimes not all the seed's going to grow. It's not all going to do great. But that's okay. We're generous with it because it's all God's seed anyway. He's the one that has blessed us to start with. And so over the years, I learned I need to sow generously here. And then the garden would come. And it was so nice being able, after a few weeks, to start reaping, to start harvesting what was sown. But you have to start by sowing generously. I just want to encourage all of us today. How are you sowing? Do you have a stingy attitude or do you have a generous attitude? What is your attitude toward giving? What is your attitude toward being generous? Do you have the mindset, this all comes from God anyway? That needs to be our mindset. And I want to encourage all of us, let's think about how we're doing with our sowing. Are you generous in the way that you sow what God has blessed you with? A second point is, generosity is a decision. Okay, so we're to be generous people, we're to sow generously, but generosity starts with a decision that you make. You know, much like George talked about in the communion, his life as a disciple started with deciding, okay, I'm not going to be able to live a sinless life, so let me allow Jesus to help me with this. That's a decision. And all of us who are disciples, we made that decision. We started with the decision, but the decision doesn't end there. We keep having to make decisions in our lives about being a disciple of Jesus. And one decision we have to make is we will be generous people. As God is generous to us, we'll be generous to other people. As Jesus was generous on the cross, giving us his life, we'll be generous and pour out our lives for people around us. As the Holy Spirit is generous to us, and he guides us, and he walks with us every single day, we'll be generous with our lives also. But that's a decision you have to make. Generosity is a decision. Verse 7. You see in verse 7 it says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see the beginning of that. Each of you. Yeah, he doesn't say, okay, if you're on staff, this is for you. He doesn't say, if you're a Bible talk leader, this is for you. He doesn't say, if you're up here singing on the worship team, this is for you. He says, every one of you, each of you, needs to decide. And so this is something that's called of every Christian. Every Christian is asked, make a decision about your generosity. He goes on and says, give what you have decided in your heart to give. So each of you make a decision to give. You know, the verb here is proeretai. Proeretai, the word for decide, if you see it, sort of picture it in your mind. It was on the screen behind me, but it's not right now. But if you could picture it in your mind, you see the word pro there. Pro means before. And so if you're just reading in the Greek, you pick up that word, you pick up that prefix, and you're like, before, decide. Decide beforehand is what Paul is trying to say here. Make a decision before you give what you really want to give. And that's the thing about generosity. It starts with a decision. One writer says this about that word. His name is Harris. He says, it points to a settled decision to contribute a certain amount to the collection. I like that idea. It points to a settled decision. A settled decision. Do you feel settled in your heart about your generosity? Is your generosity intentional? That you've really sat down and you've thought about it. You've talked about it with your wife or your husband. You've sat down and you feel settled about, this is what we are going to give. This is what in our hearts we feel like we should give. We can give. It starts with that. It starts with a decision. And then it flows out of that decision. But giving needs to be intentional. I encourage you, if you're not settled in your heart about your generosity, get settled with it. Understand the importance of it. And talk about it. Maybe get advice about it. Think about it. Pray about it. Meditate on it. But don't let it be something, well, this week I'll throw in this. And then you second guess it, because that's giving reluctantly. And then the next week you're like, ugh, I just know I got to do it, and that's under compulsion. Don't do it reluctantly or under compulsion. Instead, do it in your heart. And that's my third point. A nice transition there, right? My third point, generosity begins in the heart. And generosity is about the heart. If we're going to give generously, the first thing we have to do is give our heart to God. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. It happens in the heart. And so we have to decide, okay, I understand God has given me everything. I understand Jesus gave his life for me. I understand the Holy Spirit is with me every day, and I'm grateful for God's Spirit. I understand that I have salvation and the world around me, they're lost in sin, and I'm grateful for salvation. I understand about the relationships that I have in the church. And we need to understand all the ways that God has blessed us. And if we understand those blessings, then we, from our hearts, will be more generous. Why? Because our hearts are feeling gratitude. And that's what I attribute, you know, pointing to the heart and what God wants us to see and what Paul wants us to see in our heart. Do you have a heart of gratitude? Because if you have a heart of gratitude, then you're going to be generous. But your heart, it has to be inside of you that you're giving, that you're motivated, not extrinsically, but intrinsically, from the inside. This is where you're motivated to give to God. And a big part of that is just gratitude. Are you grateful for what God has done for you? If not, find ways to be more grateful. If the Word motivates you, get in the Word more. If prayer motivates you, get in prayer more. If relationships motivate you, get around other disciples and be in great relationships. And then just be grateful for what God has given you. You know, one of the things I like to do, and it makes me a grateful person, is I like to get out in the woods and just walk and see nature. And I'm really grateful that I'm able to do that. And I found a place, Efren and Cindy showed us a place about 10 miles from our apartment, just right up the road, Ramapo Mountain State Forest. And it reminds me of eastern Rockland County. It reminds me of the Palisades. And there's these great trails, and I learned the trail that they showed us. It goes up to a lake, and there's a two-mile walk around the lake. But then there's all these other trails, and I started just walking the other trails. And the great thing about walking out in the woods is it's never the same. Never the same. There's always different people walking on the trail. There are different dogs that are sneaking up behind you to scare you on the trail. You know, this one guy has a bell around his Great Dane, and I'm so grateful. Because I don't wear my earphones because I like to listen to nature and I like to just be in the moment. So I didn't have any earphones in or earbuds in or anything like that. And I heard this tinkle, 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 you know, behind me. And I looked around and this thing was the size of a horse. And I thought if this thing had just come up right next to me, I would have jumped out of my skin. So there's always different things to see. I've seen snakes. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. The other day I saw a deer just running along with me. There's lily pads that are now blooming on the lake, and they're beautiful. And the best thing I've seen is a couple of weeks ago, I was walking on the trail, and right across the trail, about from here to where Tanya is right now, a big black bear just came across my path. You know, enormous. And it's just, you know, from here to the end of the aisle, and I was like, wow, look at that thing. And then my second thought was, I got to get a picture of this because nobody's going to believe this. And so I had my phone with me. I got my phone out and I took a picture. It was horrible because my hands were shaking so bad, you know. And I said, I got to get a video. So I flipped it over to video mode and the bear was starting to walk away. And I remembered a movie, Sergeant York. How many of you have seen Sergeant York? That's what I thought. What? Amen. Maybe a couple. Okay. It's a great movie. Gary Cooper won an Academy Award for Sergeant York. It's about World War I. And he's from the hills of East Tennessee, which is why I related to it. And he was great at turkey hunting. And so they put him in the Army. They gave him a rifle. And he ends up winning the Congressional Medal of Honor. And so I won't spoil the rest. Anyway, you got to see that movie. It's a great movie. But I was thinking in my head, Sergeant York, and he did this turkey call to make the turkeys raise their head. So I thought, I wonder if that works with bears. So this bear is lumbering away, and I was like, go, 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 go. And sure enough, the bear looked back at me, and I got it on video. I have it on video. And it was so cool. I said, I got to try this again. I was like, goo, 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 goo. And he does it again. The bear looks back at me. And then I was like, I'm probably pressing my luck right now. And so let me put the phone away and just let the bear do his thing. But I went up the next day hoping to see the bear again. And I saw the bear 2 days in a row. And you know, some people say, well, that's crazy. You got a death wish. No, I like nature. And I like to experience these things. And the thing is, I took that away. And now that's something that nobody can take away from me. The memories I have there. And I am grateful to God just to be able to be out in nature, to enjoy his creation, to see the different things that he has created makes me grateful. It makes me realize how big he is and how small I am. I mean, the bear was big. God is so much bigger. And it just makes me realize the greatness of God to be out in his creation. Find what helps you to be grateful. Because generosity comes from the heart, and it comes from a grateful heart. So whatever it is for you, if it's being in the Word, if it's being in prayer, if it's being with people, if it's getting out in nature, whatever it is, find what makes you grateful, and then embrace that. And then generosity will flow out of your heart. Point number four, be cheerful. Generosity means that we are cheerful givers. Give cheerfully. At the end of verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. In Proverbs, it says God blesses a cheerful giver in the book of Proverbs. Paul changed that up a little bit. It says God loves a cheerful giver. This word for cheerful is hilaron. Hilaron, you probably recognize the word hilarious there. Hilaron, hilarious. And that's where we get the word hilarious, from this Greek word right here. God loves a hilarious giver. God loves a cheerful giver. We shouldn't be stingy. We should instead turn that over and decide we're going to give, and we're going to give with laughter, and we're going to give with joy, and we're going to give cheerfully, and we're going to give hilariously. There you go. I don't know where I was going with that. Hilariously. Historically and hilariously, that's how we're going to give. Some people say, give until it hurts. How many of you have heard that phrase? Give until it hurts. When it comes to giving to God and being generous with what God has given us, we need to give until we laugh. And even if that causes us a little hurt, we still laugh. Because it all comes from God anyway. It's all his. But we give until we laugh. We give until we're cheerful about it. Francis of Assisi said, "For it is in giving that we receive. It is in giving that we receive." And I like that phrase, because I've learned in my own life that when I am a giver, I receive more than I give. When I go down to the Hope School and I give to the kids in the Hope School, I leave tired, but it's a good tired, because I receive more from them than I give to them. And so this is part of being a hilarious giver. When you are a cheerful giver, you learn that you're going to give, and as you give, you receive. And so that's kind of funny. It's kind of funny that it works that way. But that's the way that God makes it work. And so we give and we receive. Two weeks ago, some of us were at camp together, Gabe and I anyway, were at camp. We were there with a lot of the people on staff. We took a group of around 50 campus-age students, our largest group ever, had our best group ever. It was amazing. I mean, the teaching was great. The fellowship was great. It was amazing. But it was hot. It was the hottest day of the year so far. It was the hottest part of the season that's happened. We went from like 70s to mid-90s. And you know, when you do that and you don't have time to adjust, it makes it extra hot. And so I was supposed to speak the first two lessons. I had the first two lessons on Sunday night when everybody was rolling in after being at church and driving. Some of them drove 8 to 10 hours to get there. You know, our kids had a quick trip compared to people coming up from Virginia. Some came across from Ohio to be there. And so I'm there, and I know I need to be giving, and I know I need to be out of myself, and I know I need to be animated because it's the end of the day, and it's really, really hot. And so I'm trying to give it my all. I'm trying to pour myself out. There's no air conditioning. It's just a big old gymnasium. There's a couple of fans in the front and a couple of fans in the back. And I thought, you know, the fans, I noticed they weren't pointed at me. And I thought, that's okay. I'm going to be selfless. I'm just going to push through this. And so the fans were going out to the audience, and I was up there just baking, just sweating through my shirt. And I thought, you know, I preached in Haiti. This is nothing, because it gets really hot in Haiti. I preached in Africa, so this is nothing. And about the middle of the second speech, I was like, I preached in Haiti and I preached in Africa, but this is something. This is mid-90s heat right here. I'm about to drop right now. And I barely finished. And during the fellowship, some guy came up to me and he was fellowshipping with me. He said, Steve, I think you have pink eye. And I was like, well, my eyes feel fine. He said, well, you've got blood in the corner of your eye and it doesn't look too cool. And so I got out my iPhone, I looked at it, and I was like, oh, that is nasty. That I popped a blood vessel in the corner of my eye, probably because of the heat. Probably because I was just giving so much, or it might have been that I sneezed. I don't know, because sneezing causes that sometimes. But I know this. I was worn out. My eye had blood in it. I was hot and sweating through my clothes. And the people were saying, go see the nurse. So I go and see the nurse. She takes my blood pressure, and it's really, really high. She says, you need to go to the emergency room. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. Let me just see if I can cool down. And so she said, okay, you promise me first thing in the morning, if your eye is as bloody as it is right now, you'll go. And I said, okay, first thing in the morning, I'll be up and I will go. And I got up and it was worse, actually. It was worse. And so I went to urgent care and they said, you know, you just cooked yourself. That's what you did. You overheated. And when you do that, your blood pressure goes up and probably popped a vessel in your eye. And they said, you just need to take it a bit easier. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. But I still got classes to teach. And so the rest of the week when I got up to teach, I had my sunglasses on. And they were like, oh, look at Steve. He thinks he's cool. He's got his sunglasses on. You know. And I was like, guys, you don't want to see this. You don't want to see how bad my eye looks right now. And they started calling me things like Tom Cruise and Elton John and Lady Gaga. I know. Lady Gaga. And I was like, all right, just go ahead, give it to me. But being that worn out, being that tired, being that hot, it felt great. It felt great because I knew I'd given my all. I had really poured myself out to the point of shedding blood. No, not really. No, that's a scripture from Hebrews. But I knew that I'd really tried hard and really given my all. And when you give, and you really give your all, oh, it feels good. You feel really good about it. And so I just want to encourage you to give and give and give, because when you give, you receive. And let's be happy givers. Let's be cheerful givers. Let's be hilarious givers. Which leads me to my last point. You guys with me? I will close this out here very quickly. And my fifth point is, God blesses so that you can abound in every good work. God blesses you so that you can give to others. So generosity comes from God. And then God helps us to give to other people. Verses 8 and 9. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. See the word all there? Three times? It's the same thing in the Greek. I'm glad they stuck with that alliteration right there. Because it says all times, all things, all times, all that you need. And it says you will abound in every good work. And you could even translate if you want, all good works. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. God is able to bless us abundantly. Why? So that we'll go out and do good works. We will have opportunities to do good works, and we'll see the purpose of why he gives to us is so that we can help other people. God blesses us so that we can bless others. And this is how Paul sort of closes out this little section right here. God gives to us so that we can give to other people. The thing that I want you to see here and I'll just hit on it very briefly, but I think it's really important, is it says, you know, God will give us abundantly. But it doesn't say that this is just prosperity theology, that you just pray and God's going to give you everything that you want. In fact, it says God is able to give abundantly. He's able to do it. But sometimes he's going to say no. And that's the fact. Sometimes he's not going to give because he knows it's not best for us. Because he knows our hearts aren't right. Because he knows that our discipleship isn't where it should be. And so sometimes, even though he's able, it doesn't say that every time he's going to do it. But he is able to do it. And so we need to understand that. And also, because he talks about all things and all places, that sort of thing, it's more that it's a spiritual blessing that he's giving us here. He's giving us spiritual blessings and, yes, material gifts, material blessings for a purpose. And if we don't tack on that purpose to our lives, then what the things that we're blessed with, they're not going to see the purpose or get to the purpose for which they were given. We receive so that we might help other people. We receive so that we might be a blessing to other people. I just want to ask you a question. How are you doing in this area? If you were to walk around and just ask people that are really close to you, do you feel like I'm a generous person? What would their answer be? If you were to walk around and ask people, you know, how do you feel like I'm doing in helping people around me and sort of sharing what I have so that good works are produced? How would they answer? Pray about that. Think about that. Get that in your head. And somebody go help out that class over there. we need to ask ourselves these type of questions. They are really, really important. Be generous. Be generous because God is generous. Have an attitude of generosity. Get grateful in your heart so that you can be grateful toward others. I want to close just by mentioning Ruby Bridges. Ruby Bridges was the first African American to go to an all-white school. This was on November 14th, 1960. Ruby Bridges, she walked through a line of people that were yelling hateful, hateful things at her. She had armed escort around her. I have a great picture on the PowerPoint, so visualize what I'm talking about now. She had armed escorts around her, an armed escort around her, and there were people on the side of the street that were just yelling. They had signs yelling really, really hateful things. And here's a little girl just trying to make her way to school. And when she got to school, no teachers would teach her. They all declined, except for one. One teacher named Mrs. Henry, she got in the classroom with her, and she had her own private tutoring session because the other teachers wouldn't teach Ruby. And Mrs. Henry tried to help her with the situation, and she asked her, she said, you know, Ruby, as you walk to school, these people are saying really hateful things. You just need to not say anything. You just need to walk on by. Walk on into the school, and I'll be here waiting for you. So please, don't say anything. Just walk on by. And Miss Henry, one day, she saw Ruby saying something. And so Ruby got into the classroom, and she said, you know, Ruby, we talked about this, and I thought you understood that it's not really safe and it's not really good for you to talk back to the people. You just need to walk past them. And Ruby said, oh, I wasn't talking to them. Miss Henry was like, but Ruby, I saw you saying something. I saw you vocalizing something. Ruby said, oh, yeah, I was vocalizing something, but I wasn't talking to them. And she said, well, then what were you doing? And Ruby said, well, I was actually just, I was praying. And so Miss Henry said, well, what were you praying? And Ruby answered, I prayed, please, God, try to forgive these people. Because even if they say those bad things, they don't know what they're doing. She had the words of Jesus in her heart. And these words were words of generosity. And they were words of forgiveness. And they were words in which she saw the evil around her, but she responded by giving and giving in prayer. And I just want to encourage all of us. Generosity is the right thing to do. Generosity, being a generous person, is the right way to be. And I want you to this week, live as if every moment of the day you were praying blessings for people around you. And then act every moment of the day as if you were being generous and giving to people around you. Because that's how we become more like Jesus. Let's be generous people, because God, Jesus, and His Spirit have been so generous to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.